The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're gonna be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goals. I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. Today's episode, we have life-changing questions to ask yourself. This stemmed from my thinking about how we have a running internal dialogue all the time. At least some people do. At least I do. I think everyone has it to some extent.
I got sent down a rabbit hole with this because I saw a TikTok that was someone saying that they don't have it. And then it got me questioning if I have an internal dialogue. And I don't know if I do.
Oh, I think I'm always talking to myself in my head.
Yeah, but it's like a conscious effort. It's not just like, I don't know if I can hear the words. I can think I just think the words.
Interesting. However, in one way or another, our brains are always running. We're always on. We're always talking to ourselves. We're always having this chatter inside of our brains. But I don't think that it's always used productively. I think having any sort of internal dialogue is productive in the sense that, you know, you're always kind of working out your thoughts. It can be unproductive or counterintuitive if it becomes more of like a stressful chatter and it's always high stress and it's always kind of spiraling about thoughts. But for the most part, I think that like having this internal conversation and dialogue with ourselves is a pretty positive thing because you're always aware maybe of how you're feeling or what certain things are making you think. But because that's always happening, I think we should probably use the opportunity a little bit more to ask questions that can really have strong outcomes and guide us one way or another. Life-changing questions, one might say. Before we get into those questions, though, let's do highs, lows, and goals of the week.
Our high kind of has to be the event. I know we mentioned it maybe last week, but this is the first full, like, new episode since then. But we had our first Girls with Goals pod in-person event, and it was in Boston at this non-alcoholic bottle shop, which I think is so sick.
Yeah.
It's also, like, really cute in the South End. It's, like, it's a Bev Wall, just my favorite aisle of the grocery store, just, like, maxed out into its own store, which is so cool. And we got to meet a lot of you guys and, like, talk. It was actually really fun. I didn't know how the second half of the evening was gonna go because it was like a Q&A. We all chat. We came in with some questions that even if you weren't there, we put a question box up on all of our Instagram. So you were able to still ask some questions. We did a little Q&A, which was kind of like an in-person podcast episode,
yeah.
Which was really sick. And then we all just kind of hung out, tasted some mocktails, drinks, and talked. And it was like great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think and I hope that you guys, if you were there, met some other people that you didn't know before, or some people came and brought friends, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And some people came alone, which like iconic. Then you get to meet so many new people that are automatically valid friends because yeah, you know you have so at least one interest in common. That was definitely a high, both on the setting it up and like, wow, this is a thing. And then we were like standing there when people were coming in and we're like, this is crazy that like we're all just like a group and people actually actually listen and actually come and actually like value what we say on here and value like how their lives are impacted by healthy habits and healthy lifestyles enough to come and like share that with everyone else, which is wild and so sick. And we hope to do so many more, both in Boston, if you're in and around Boston, and
elsewhere,
wherever we are.
Yeah, to bring people together like that and to bring this thing to life in a way that we've kind of dreamt about for a while was, you know, absolutely a high and was so rewarding because I talked about it so much in last week's episode, which if you haven't listened, go listen to that. It's a bigger recap of this event, of a conversation surrounding alcohol and how it kind of fits into health and wellness. And then we have Julie Lawton on, who is incredible. She's 20. She's like openly sober in college and kind of talked a lot about how that fits into her lifestyle, how she still, you know, stays healthy, but how she still like has fun and has friends and stays social and kind of gives us a unique perspective. So definitely an interesting episode to listen to. Having talked about that so much already, I'm going to shift my high to this weekend that we are in right now, because it's just nice to be home in New Hampshire for the weekend after a big week of school. I have a couple of big weeks of school ahead of me before I'm done with the semester, and so it's been just like a nice relaxing weekend at home. I've been reading, the sun's out, so I ran outside yesterday enough to take a sweatshirt off and be just in short sleeves. So it's been nice to have a sunny, somewhat chill weekend at home.
I feel like we're always home. One, because this is where like the podcast studio is.
Yeah.
So all of our recording stuff is here and we'll come and
AKA
record here.
Our setup in our home.
In my room. And two, my environment in Boston is like not helpful at all. Caroline was in the kitchen the other day and I would like open my door. I was like, welcome to my hole. We talk so much about your environment shapes you. And I know that is like such a big thing for me, which is why my bed is always made. That hasn't changed. What has changed? My room is always a mess. I don't know what it is. My room is always, it feels like, I don't care how much I clean it, like it's just so uncomfortable. And I just don't love my environment and it doesn't give me good vibes and good motivation. So it's good to to leave that and come here, which is also a bonus of like, we have to come here to podcast record.
Yeah.
But it changes the scene a little bit.
Yeah.
But my environment has made me like so lethargic. So it also has to do with my life schedule. Like if I'm in class until 9 p.m., like I'm not getting up, and then I have to sleep in until however long. Cause like class ends at 9, then I got to walk home. I got to like make dinner. I got to get myself ready for the next day. All of a sudden it's midnight and I'm like, oh dang. Oh, I got to go. Having that be my routine is making me feel gross and grimy all the time, and I'm not a fan of it. So I'd say that's my low, because that's really hitting me after like three months, I think, of being in Boston. But we only have another month left, and then my environment will change. Who knows to what, but like I'll still be in Boston. But
yeah, I think my low a little bit school related as well. I don't have night classes in the same way that in Catherine does, but I'm feeling like my classes, they're just feeling so repetitive. A lot of my classes feel a little bit similar. They're all very writing intensive. So I'm like, almost every day, I'm like, new paper, new case study. And I'm like, you know, I just feel like I've been doing it over and over again for months. And I have like 2 weeks left of school. So now it's like, you know, final projects and presentations coming to a close, final papers, having to think about final exams. And I'm like, you know, I'm just a little tired of it. I will survive.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa.
I'm a little tired of it. And it feels a little bit repetitive, but I will survive. And so I guess my goal of the week is to re-motivate myself to stay on top of my work for these next 2 weeks and, you know, do my best job, not stress myself out. And so maybe that means sitting in a coffee shop every day and treating myself to make it an enjoyable experience, which I kind of almost do anyways.
The other day when I was at lunch with Lucas, he was like, we FaceTimed you, and you had the Cafe Nero bookshelf in the back, and he's like, oh, she loves her cafes. She's always at Cafe Nero. Like, she's always there. Loves her cafes.
Yeah, I'm there, or I'm at Tase, or I'm at Pavement. Working. Yeah, I sit in a lot of them.
They're working. Which is, I've been sitting in Tate. I sit in Tate a lot. I don't like Cafe Nero. Not my vibe.
I do. I mean, look, they have a student discount on the coffee.
Really?
And get 25% off if I have an app. And then there's a stamp card, so I get 10 stamps, coffee, and then a drink free.
It's a screaming deal.
Right. That's honestly what, like, I go there. It's a cheaper option than going to Tate. So I, like, supplement. Yeah. These are things you didn't know. Anyways, that's my goal of the week. Get myself motivated, you know, reward and treat myself so I can push through these tough last couple weeks of school.
My goal of the week is to, I feel like I have a busy week, but I have to go to Rhode Island for something for work, and then I'm gonna go see my friend too. So not necessarily a goal, but something I'm excited about is seeing my friend in Rhode Island. And I think we're gonna get lunch.
Nice.
So no plan, just
lunch sounds
just
right.
Lunch. But
lunch
this week right. is an interesting week. I think I have a lot going on. But it's fun when weeks are busy, and
it'll be good.
I don't know how to describe it other than that. I think I have a lot of different things going on this week, which sometimes makes it harder to, like, keep track of things and focus on things. But I've gotten very good at being very targeted with things. So I'm like, Wednesday, Thursday, only work, not really doing school. Monday, Tuesday, mostly school, not really doing work.
Mm-hmm.
And then weekend, it's whatever needs to be done.
Nice.
Type it. But you know what I mean?
Time blocking, time batching.
Time
if
batching.
You will. If you guys want to set your own goals, I never plug this, but I always do Monday goal setting question box on my Instagram story. So make sure you're following at Caroline Kanine, and Catherine's personal is at Catherine Kanine. And then we also have a podcast page at Girls with Goals Pod. So you can always keep up with some extra content there, catch our new episodes, see what we have coming next, whether it's more events or just fun things, merch, etc. And with that, let's talk about some of these life-changing questions to ask yourself. Some of these are like something you can ask yourself anytime. Sometimes they're a bit more situational. I think this first one is, I don't know, it's somewhere in between, but it's a little bit more situational. And the question is, can I not do this, or am I scared to do this? We are so used to putting boxes around ourselves of what we're allowed to do, what we think we're capable of doing. And it's really, really easy to say, oh, I'm not that kind of person. I don't do that. I can't do that. I could never do that. When really, it's not true. Like, it's usually not that true when we say I can't do that, because maybe you're far off, but it doesn't mean that if you didn't set your mind to it, you couldn't get there. So usually I can't do this isn't actually valid.
It's usually just an excuse, because maybe you've never run a day in your life and you're like, this happens. I feel like every time the Boston Marathon happens, which is like the 15th. So 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Or like the New York Marathon. Every time something like that happens, people who are not runners are like, well, I'm so motivated. This was awesome. Like, I'm going to run this marathon. Yeah. And then you're like, no, not me. I've never run a mile in my life. But yeah, no, you're not going to go run a marathon tomorrow. But that doesn't mean you can't like start running and just make it a hobby. Maybe if you don't end up at the marathon in the next 3 years, that doesn't mean you can't just start and like take that as motivation and inspiration to start something new.
Yeah.
But it is easy to be like, no, it's way too big, which is kind of like a crutch with setting massive goals.
True.
Almost it's like pardoning yourself or giving yourself the option to let yourself down, which we talk about a lot with the idea of like confidence and trusting yourself and following through with what you say you're going to do. If you say you're going to do something that in the back of your mind you know you're not going to do, you're not going to hold yourself accountable for any of it, because you've already negated the fact that like this is important to you.
Yeah.
When you set some outrageous and like massive thing. So it's kind of the same thing as like being scared to do it. I think it's also a common reaction to be like, oh, I'm scared. I'm going to quote unquote commit so hard to this that I'm going to go way off the rails, which is just that I'm going to overcommit so that when I inevitably let myself down, I have a good excuse because it was too much to actually do.
Yeah. If we try to do something and we say, I'm going to do this, we're opening ourselves up to the risk of failing and letting ourselves down. But if there's something you want to do and from the get-go you say, I can't do this, and you never even do, then you let yourself down from the beginning regardless. Right. In an even stronger way. I would rather try something and put myself out there and fail at it than let myself down for the sake of, oh, I never even believed that I could try.
That was me with Dry January. I had no intention of doing Dry January. Like, I barely drink in general, but I woke up January 1st. I was like, maybe I'll do Dry January. And I was like, I don't need to Dry January. Like, what am I? And then I was like, no, stop it. I had the thought, no, I got to follow through with it. Like, no, I'm stuck with this. And that was not necessarily like, oh, I need to do Dry January. But after I had the thought, I was like, no, mental toughness. Like, we got to go through and follow through with what we say we're going to do. Because not starting the year with me just, like, excusing myself early. So that was the, like, same thought patterns behind it. Which happens with everything. Same thing with waking up early. Same thing with, like, oh, I'm going to get this job if you want to maybe switch careers or you want to excel in a class or, like, pick up a new hobby, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You could just follow through with it. Like, do what you're saying you're going to do.
Yeah. So next time you find yourself thinking, oh, I'm not that kind of person. I can't take that class. I can't learn that thing. I'll never be able to do that. I'm not the type of person who does this. Ask yourself, can I actually not do this, or am I just scared of what it might mean to step up and try?
Another question to ask in those settings, I know we've talked about this a lot with routines, is beyond just can I not do this or am I scared to do this, is do I actually want to do this? And there are a lot of different reasons why you could hypothetically want to do something. Maybe it's social pressure, maybe it's like the norm, maybe it's something that other people see as the end all be all and you're just kind of following it. And this applies to everything. I think it applies to, like, health and fitness a lot, especially with the stuff that we talk about. Maybe it's a physique goal. Maybe it's a running distance goal. Maybe it's, like, a lifting goal or even just a routine goal. If you see people that you follow or people around you that are doing Pilates 5 times a week or lifting crazy heavy 5 times a week or whatever schedule they have, you're like, oh, they're fit. They're healthy. Like, I see them as fit and healthy. That is my new goal. I want to do this.
Yeah.
But you don't actually want to do that. You don't actually want that routine, and that's why it's not going to stick. It's the same thing with, like, if you try and wake up early, but you don't actually want to wake up early, you just think that that's going to, like, that's what you're supposed to do. You know, you have no real urge other than you think that's what you're supposed to do. You think that's, like, the answer. And it may take a really long time. It may take you failing a lot. And it may take you going through with it and then realizing that there's something better for you, to realize that you didn't actually want that. You wanted a consistent routine. You didn't want to wake up early. You wanted a consistent wake up routine that fit your schedule. You didn't want to lift heavy. You wanted to be strong, and maybe something else gets you motivated enough to achieve that goal.
Yeah. So I think that's a second, you know, potentially life-changing question, is when you're struggling to commit to something or do something, you're at a bit of a crossroads, asking yourself, do I actually want to do this? But not using that as an easy way out, but using that as a way to define at the core what it is you actually want.
Right.
It's not, oh, do I want to be waking up early? Well, this is hard for me, so I don't actually want to do that. It's, do I want to be doing this? Why or why not? And then figure out what it actually is, like, at the root of it. And it might open you up to different options that are going to come with much more ease to you to achieve the same root goal.
I know I bring up my example of a nighttime routine a lot, and I've always been like, oh, I'm going to do a nighttime routine because I feel like I need to do these things, like stretch before bed or have a big skincare routine or, like, whatever. And it doesn't work because I just don't really have an interest in it and don't really have the energy or motivation for it. And I've gotten to a point in the last year I've not tried to, like, have a crazy routine. I think this summer, though, like this spring and summer after I leave Boston, because no shot on a routine in Boston and, like, my current environment and situation and, like, scheduled routine. Not into it. I'm just going to deal with my, like, minimal levels of motivation and like, pockets of extra energy and forcing myself to do my foundational habits for the next month. And then, then I'll be rejuvenated and can, like, change things. So a lot of it is, like, we've talked about this before, but your schedule and your needs come with phases of life. Like, I can't, this is not saying I can't do this because I'm scared right now. This is me saying, like, I know that it's going to hit harder and going to serve me better and going to last longer if I start this in a month. And that's not to say I'm going to put off working out for a month. No, that's saying I'm going to put off having specific goals beyond go to the gym and get a good workout in and like meet that habit for the day. Until I have the time, space, and energy to do so, which is in a month.
Because at the core of I want a nighttime routine is really like I want to feel like I'm taking care of myself, you know?
Right.
And there are other ways to do that if that is not what fits into your specific schedule at the moment.
And I've lacked a routine for, I mean, this semester and low-key. Honestly, solid routine while traveling. I think we have solid routines while traveling, given that we are traveling. Obviously, if I'm traveling, I'm not going to wake up and go to the gym every single day and do my set workout.
But we always find a way to be active.
You find a way to be active. You still hit those habits and have that routine. Now, every single day I have different needs. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I got to go to work at 9. Sometimes I've got to go to class at 9 p.m. Like sometimes I have an 8 a.m. class and then in the middle of the day and then I have to work out at 10 a.m. That's because that's my only block on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then on a Thursday, my only block is like 4:30 to 6:30. And so every day is different. But when I'm done with school, with this like phase of life, then I'm going to have a lot more space for a consistent routine. And that's something I haven't had in a while and something that I want to implement. So at that phase, even though prior I didn't really want a routine, now I like genuinely actually want it and I know that I actually want it. And so I'm going to implement those actual like minor steps of a daytime routine.
Yeah. So first question, can I not do this or am I scared to do this? Second question, do I actually want this? I think a third that is relative to this is what would I do if I wasn't scared?
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Carolyn and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio, and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you have big goals in a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change, and their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
That's a question that you don't even need to apply to a specific scenario. You can kind of use that as like even a journal prompt or like a reflection point at any point in your life of like, what would I be doing right now and how would I be living my life if I wasn't scared of anything? It might be a helpful place to start to think like, well, what am I actually scared of? I think for me, my biggest fear, if like that would hold me back from anything, is a fear of like letting myself down. Like if I try to do something and I fail at it, I think that is what would hit me hardest. Or a fear of like my future self looking back and feeling like I didn't go as far as I wanted to go in something, didn't like keep a promise to myself in an aspect or something like that. A lot of like future looking back kind of things. I think that would always be kind of at the root of like what scares me and what might hold me back. And then you might think like, okay, well, if I didn't have those fears at all, if I wasn't thinking about how my future self was going to perceive how I'm living right now, if I wasn't scared of like trying something and letting myself down, what would I do? A lot of the time that's going to lead you to what you actually should be doing.
So true. It just helps put it into perspective, which a lot of these things and a lot of these questions just are a result of your focusing so much on the micro parts that you can't really see the macro vision that's going to help you adjust. I mean, we always talk about this. Obviously, the micro habits, micro choices, micro routines are so important, are the things that actually achieve like little by little what you want to achieve. But if you don't understand the macro goal that you're trying to achieve or the macro perspective, you're just going to like, you're punching in the dark. You don't really have a set trajectory or solid trajectory, solid understanding of why you're doing what you're doing. And so it's really really important to kind of take away those parameters and think of things more conceptually, which is what that question gets to, in order to like reset and reframe your micro habits and actual actions.
I think if I said, what would I do if I wasn't scared? I think that I would do a lot of the things that like I would even want to do now, but that, you know, have seem like they have a path of resistance or sometimes feel hard or sometimes you have to face like, I'm actually not perfect at this. You know, it's all of those things that I think if you drop the fear of failure, you would actually get farther in the long run because you would do these things that you know you're not perfect at, and because of that, like, hold yourself back from doing. Another overall question that you can ask yourself at any time is, how do I define success? That also is going to really shift what you value and what you do in your life. A lot of the time, we just keep going on autopilot and going with the flow, and we don't realize that it can be based on societal norms and what other people see as successful. And a lot of the times that might drive us towards ignoring our own wants and needs. And so it can be really helpful to check in with yourself sometimes, like, hey, everyone else excluded from this, parents, friends, peers, other people in the world, like what they're going to think, what they think is the right path. Like, how do I actually define success? It might be a lot more personal than the way that you're living your life right now.
Which I also think that comes down to understanding what you actually need to do and what you can do. Because at the end of the day, like, gotta pay the bills. So maybe what you actually want to do is like start a business or work for yourself or not work.
Yeah.
Can't do that if you gotta make rent or gotta gotta buy groceries. Yeah. So at the end of the day, maybe you stay in a career that you don't love. Stay at a job you don't love. Because it serves the purpose of paying your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Don't stay in a job you don't love and also go home and do nothing and also have no friends and also like box yourself out of anything you would enjoy. Use your energy to fill those pockets and fill those needs and wants otherwise. You don't have to make, sometimes we put these things in like really extreme scenarios just to understand it conceptually, but it's not all or nothing. You can find a good balance. So maybe you don't love your job. You want to change. Stay in your job because you got to make money if you don't have a backup. If you have a backup, by all means, go to the backup. You can stay in your job and then take night classes. Go to new like hobbies on a weekend. Meet new people. Spend more time with your friends. Like spend a lot more energy in doing external things like after work, going to the gym or cooking or finding these other passions that may serve you in that moment.
Yeah.
And lead you to your next thing. Yeah. So you don't have to be really aggressive or really irrational about these choices. But that said, you can define your own idea of success. So maybe you move in with your parents. Maybe you aren't living in New York City or Boston or like LA or all the, you know, maybe you're living in Ohio. Sorry if you live in Ohio. I'm sure it's lovely there. You know, the idea of success is maybe not I'm going to move to New York City in my 20s and, like, live in a heinously overpriced apartment that also was infested with mice and rats and, like, have zero spending money and, like, have to skip meals because right. I literally can't afford it.
Maybe you just want to live with your parents in Ohio.
Right.
If it's going to keep you more stable right now. You know, like, and everyone can have different definitions of what feels successful right now. Something relative to me right now, which you can apply to, like, work or school or whatever it is. How do I define success? You know, I feel like it's ingrained in all of us to want to get, like, straight A's, perfect score, do everything perfectly, and, like, that is how you define success. At the end of the day, though, in all of our experience, we know that's probably not the case because of how we've studied for a test, aced it, forgotten everything the next day. So I think when you actually stop and think, like, what would actually make me feel successful and accomplished? For me, in this semester of school right now, and you know, how I would love to be in general in my life is, like, I'm going to feel successful if I feel like I genuinely learned something and took something from this. If I put my best effort into all of the work that I did, like, put my best effort into actually learning something, into writing something in my own words, coming up with my own thoughts. If I do that all with, you know, the least amount of stress and resistance from myself as possible, if I do that all and still enjoy my life at the same time, that is all how I would define doing this successfully. Even if that means I get a B in there. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes the things on paper that seem like they're the definition of success, like, you know, you give someone your resume and it's like your GPA is that definition of success. But for you internally, like, it's probably actually very different. Because, yeah, of course I would love to see straight A's come back, but at the end of the day, that doesn't mean as much to me if I ruined my life getting there, or if I don't even feel like I learned anything and I was just fighting for the grade along the way.
On that note, you know, at least I always look at Rate My Professors when I'm doing the classes, and I have two prime examples right now. One class is like, this is such an easy class, like, mm-hmm. great class, like, he really cares about his students, like, everyone gets an A, like, super easy class. I get B's in those classes. 100%. Every single time there's a fluff class, I don't do well in it. Every single time
you don't, like, commit to it in the same way.
Every time there's a class that it's like, do not take this professor, like, he's the worst, he's no help, it's so hard, you're gonna fail. I'm 96% in one of those classes right now. Most people.
Do you work harder at that one though?
Yeah, I actually care about it. The other one, I'm like, oh, this shit exactly. again. Like, we're talking about the same stuff. It's 40% participation, and sue me.
I'm not participating.
I have an 80%. I have an 80%, I think. Because it's the class is like leadership, so everyone's just fighting to show that they're a leader. And I'm like, I'm not, this is almost like pointless right now. Everyone's fighting, and I'm like, this is,
the girls
you're
are
actually
fighting.
Not being a leader if you're, like, trying to steal the airtime.
That, yeah, sue actually, me. You're not
if
leading anyone, you're
if
just shouting.
If we're a group project and you're screaming you're over everyone, shouting. Like, I know I'm going to get a poor grade on this, like, how did everyone in your group do? Like, who was the leader in your group? 100%, I know they are not voting me as a leader. But what I did was not scream because I knew that wasn't going to do anything. And I said, blank, like, what are your ideas? Blank, what are your ideas? And, like,
yeah, you're facilitating.
Sat back. Like, I assumed my position and, like, actually completed the work. I was the one that said, hey, I think we have a presentation due tomorrow. Should we maybe do it tonight? Ooh. But I'm not going to get the points for being a leader. No, because the person who was the loudest and made the group text is going to be the one who is the leader. And that's okay with me because that
doesn't
matter.
Sound like it's okay with you.
Because it's just such a waste of time. Yeah. It was such a waste of time. Like, are you so for real right now?
Yeah.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
It's also, I'm upset because it's low-key a waste of money. Like, my tuition money is really going to this. Where we learn how to be leaders, but actually everyone just, like, is really pissing me off. Next. My other class, love it. I've learned so much. Yeah. I've put so much time happily in it. The other day, Thursday night, I texted my group. I was like, blah, blah, blah. Friday night, I was working on it. I was like, this is fun. We had to do a financial model, and we went into, like, not great at the finances. It would have been so easy for me to be like, someone who knows finance, do it.
But you learned it.
Yeah. And me and my friend that's
I'm
in
sure
my group.
I'm sure that felt so successful.
My friend, we sit in class. It's like a Monday night at 8:30. We're like, I know the project's over, but like, I would love to play with that financial model. And just like, we're both like, who the hell are we? Like, what is going on right now?
Learning
so much.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not successful in that leadership class. Sue me. I find success in how much I learn. Redefine it. I don't care if I get a B.
Define your own success. Another big overarching question, another life-changing question is, who do I want to be? Big question.
You ever think back, like, one of our little cousins every year, like, when the first day of school, it's like, hi, my name is blank, and I'm this height, and I'm going into first grade.
And I want to be.
I want to be, and every year it changes, like, veterinarian, nurse, teacher, firefighter, bleh, bleh. How sick is that? Like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You can ask yourself that question anytime, but it's just not, what do I want to be when I grow up? Maybe it's not what I want to be, but maybe it's, who do I want to be? Because you can always redefine that for yourself. You're never stuck in a box with that, because it's like how you live your life and your actions. And as tough as it can be to change your habits and stuff sometimes, it always is your choice at the end of the day. So you can always ask yourself, who do I want to be right now? Whether it's when you're in a specific heat of the moment situation and you're trying to figure out like, oh, like, how do I want to react? Am I like going to get angry, or can I keep this calm? You can ask yourself in those situations, who do I want to be right now? It's probably going to help you make a more rational decision and one that you're going to be more proud of later. But you can also ask it overall in life. Like, am I living as a person that I want to be living like right now? If not, who do I want to be?
The other side of that is understanding like who you are naturally. We were talking about this yesterday. But like, even since birth, we had different personalities. Mm-hmm. Like, Caroline came out of the womb like, all right, what's next? Like, and I had to be incubated. I was not living. But like, she's still like, and then I'm still like just
sitting off there, put me to
sitting there
by correct. Myself.
Yeah, that'd be so fun. That'd be awesome. So like, part of you is just like set. It just, your personality, your character, how you are is just set, and then you can use that to your strength.
Yeah.
And I think understanding that is important. And also understanding like where you fall within a friend group. All of a sudden we opened up, this was a few months ago, maybe we said it on the podcast, but opened up our group chat to one of our friends doing the like chaotic good, chaotic neutral, like lawful evil,
yeah. Like that square with all of our friends. And everyone had one and we were like, this is spot on. Like, you nailed it. Like, this is awesome. Everyone has their own thing. And it's like, none of those are better or worse. You're just like,
you're just different.
Like, yes, you got it. Like, that's me. I would love to remember what I am. I can go look it up. But everyone was like, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Like, iconic. no one's better or worse than each other. That just like is who you are.
Yeah. Well, because you can be a chaotic person, you can be a quiet person, you can be all those things, and regardless of some of those like internal traits, you can still be a trustworthy person, you can still be an ambitious person, you right. can still like, you can have your temperament as one thing, and then you can yeah. still choose to be anything that you want to be, you know. It's kind of different, like your personal temperament versus what you do and who you choose to act as.
Yeah, it's a good way of splitting it off. Mm.
So who do I want to be right now? That a lot of the time is going to lead you down a good path of like, again, just kind of stopping yourself from the hamster wheel of life for a second, getting yourself off of autopilot and thinking like, okay, who I'm living as and how I'm living right now, is that actually what do I want? Is that actually what I want? And if not, what do I want to do differently? Do I just want to experience more new things, learn more? Do I want to be outside more? Do I want to connect with people more? Do I want to take care of myself more? Could be anything.
And the final one is kind of broad, kind of puts all these things together, but what am I grateful for? So that could be traits of yourself. That could be things that you have in your life. That could be routines. That could be like accomplishments. Whatever it is like the positive things in your life. So putting things into a positive perspective, I think, is helpful. Obviously.
Right.
When you think of things through a positive lens, you're going to be more energized, because you can think about the same things of like, so take it as an accomplishment or like progress with something. What are you grateful for? I'm grateful that I've like put in all the effort this far. Or what am I, that's like a positive spin. What am I grateful for? Just thinking about your accomplishments. Like the days that you missed, or if you're off the mark or off plan or whatever, or you're not there yet. Like that would be a negative perspective and putting it in a negative spot, which then you're not going to have fun with it. So I think checking in from a positive perspective on like, what am I grateful for in every aspect? So personality traits, accomplishments, people, things, routines, environments in your life, like it's either going to let you know in a positive way, like change these things, or like, let's keep these going how they are.
Yeah. A lot of people credit so much positivity in their lives to making lists of what they're grateful for, or asking themselves every day, what am I grateful for? I've never commit to doing it to that extent, but
making a list. You've never commit to making a list?
To making a list of what I'm grateful for every day. You know, for a lot of people are like, every day, five things I'm grateful for.
See, I can't commit to all those things.
But
if you do, just do it every day.
No, but I can't do 100 things every day. For me, when you say like, oh, five things every day, I'm like, oh my God, how do I think of so many things? But actually, there are so many things. It's just that I tend to think that I have to choose the biggest, heaviest things ever. Like, oh, what am I grateful for? My family, my health, things like that. Yeah, you're going to run out of things if you're trying to only be grateful for like the big buckets of things in the world. But if you can stop and be like, oh, I'm grateful that I got a weekend extension on that paper. I'm grateful that the sun's out today. I'm grateful that I have a cozy blanket. I'm great. You know, like all these little things, if you train yourself to think of things that way, that truly is life changing, because it's going to train you to have a much more positive lens on things and realize even when there are inevitable negatives and stressors and resistances in life, that there are still a million things around you to be grateful for. So those were 7 life changing questions that you can ask yourself anytime, any day, some of them situational.
Anywhere, even.
Anywhere. Oh, so true. Doesn't even matter where you are, because it's just in your mind. You could ask yourself.
Yep, got it.
But truly, they each are very different in their approach and in what they might lead you to, and in, you know, the situation you might ask them in. What am I grateful for? You can ask yourself that any second of any day. Can I not do this, or am I scared to do this? That is a bit more in the moment of something. But all of these questions are big things that when you're having this chatter and internal dialogue in your mind, if you can stop and ask yourself one of these questions, it's going to guide you into a productive direction instead of just kind of spiraling in your head as we do sometimes.
Thank you guys for listening and for sticking with us for all of these questions in this whole episode. before you go, if you enjoyed the show, go give it a rating, 5 stars, leave a comment if you're on Apple. You can't leave a comment on Spotify with a rating, but you can leave a little like Q&A poll question comment on Spotify, and then we always go through and publish them. And love reading them too. You can also follow Girls with Goals Pod on Instagram, TikTok, follow at Caroline Kaneen, at Aunt Catherine Kaneen. Those are our personals and everything. Everything is also linked below if you want to click on over. Check us out. Check that out. And we will see you guys next Monday.
Bye. Bye.
If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.